We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Mishnah Michal Yaakov Pitchos Eliyahu and Erechin Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey. Now we move into the laws of Stei Mikra. We spoke about the Stei Achu. So the Stei Mikra, the Torah says in Parshas Bechukosai, Ve'im es Sidei Mikna so, Asher lo mi Sidei Achu so. This is a piece of land that someone purchased. It's not part of his ancestral land. Yakdish, and such a person, Yakdish Lashem, he is Makdish that to the Beis HaMikdash. So here we calculate the not based on the fixed value as we've mentioned when it comes to the Stei Achuza, but rather whatever the market value is. And of course, that's until the Shnas Hayovel. B'Shnas Hayovel, Yoshuv Asar De'al Asher Kano Meito. That land goes back to its original owner in the year of Yovel. L'Asher Lo Achuza Sa'aret. So the three differences between the Stei Mikna and the Stei Achuza. On the first of all, the ancestral field, we said, that goes to the Kohanim in Yovel. When it comes to the Stei Mikna, no, that doesn't go to the Kohanim. It goes back to the original owner. Number two is the adding of a fifth. When it comes to someone who is Makdish Estei Achuza, so he has to add a fifth when he redeems. In the case of a Stei Mikna, an acquired field, he does not add a fifth. And finally is, as we mentioned, is what's the redemption for price? What's the redemption value? When it comes to the Stei Achuza, so that's redeemed at that fixed rate, the 50 shekel for each base core, each 75,000 square amos, as opposed to the Stei Mikna, which is based on the market value. Mishnah begins, Halokeach Sadeh Me'aviv. Here's someone who bought his father's ancestral field. We consider this now a Stei Mikna. The son bought it. The Stei Mikna, it's not his, it belongs to the father, still alive. So this is treated as a Stei Mikna. And then Meis Aviv Acharka Chikdisha. But then his father died, and then he's Makdash to the Beis HaMikdash. So since his father died before he was Makdash, so now it becomes his Stei Achuza. Harayik is Stei Achuza. Because if sometime after the son bought the field from the father died. So then he's Makdash. So by the time the son is Makdash to the Beis HaMikdash, he's already inherited the rights to that field as a Stei Achuza. So therefore we view his being Makdash this field as if he's Makdash a Stei Achuza. And therefore, if he wants to redeem it, he has to pay that fixed rate of the 50 shekel for each base core. He has to add a fifth as well. And if he would not redeem it, let's say left it in the hands of Bedek Abayis of the Beis HaMikdash, or in the hands of someone else who redeemed it, so what happens when it comes to Yovel, it's divided amongst the Kohanim. But what about the order is reversed? Hikdisha v'acharkach meisaviv. He's makdish at first while it's a Stei Mikna, after he bought it from his father when his father was still alive. And only then the father passed away v'acharkach meisaviv, after he was makdish, harayik v'kastei mikna. So then it's treated as a Stei Mikna because his father was still alive when he was makdish. And therefore, what do you have? He owned the rights of the field till Yovel, but it was not his Stei Achuza. So therefore, whatever laws apply to Stei Mikna will apply to such a field. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir's opinion, where we judge this case according to the time, what was happening. Was the father alive at the time that he was Makdashit or not? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, on him, Kistei Achuza. They believe no, even though he was Makdashit before his father passed away. Nonetheless, we view it as a Stei Achuza because eventually he's going to inherit it. Right now he inherited it. The father died. The fact that he was Makdashit prior to the father dying doesn't matter. We treat it as a Stei Achuza. He wants to redeem it. He has to pay the 50 shekel, the fixed amount, and it's not based on the market value and whatever. And of course, he has to add on a fifth. How we treat it like a Stei Achuza, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon against the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Shneamar, and they have a proof text. The Pasuk says, Vin es Stei Miknaso Asher Lo Mi Stei Achuza. So, a Stei Mikna is treated as a Stei Mikna only when it's low, when it's not Mistei Achuza. So, which means, the Mishnah explains, Sadeh She'eina Re'uya Li'yo Stei Achuza. Only a field that is not fit to become a Stei Achuza. Yotzei Zo, that excludes this case, She'hi Re'uya Li'yo Stei Achuza. It's true, he may have been Makdash it when it was a Stei Mikna, but it is Ro'uy fit to become a Stei Achuza to him because it is his father's field that he bought. So, eventually he will inherit it. Potentially, so therefore we treat it as Stei Achuza once the father dies, even though he was Makdashit before the father passed away. Then the Mishnah continues, stay mikna eino yotzei stak kohanim bayover. We know, stay mikna does not go, when it comes to the yovil, it does not go, does not, it's not divided amongst the kohanim. She'ein on a makdish davar she'enov shalo. Literally means a person can't be makdish something that's not his. That's a general principle. So a person who buys a stay achuzah, he owns it till yovil, and that's it. And then it goes back to the original owner, who really is the ancestral owner of that field, of stay achuzah. And therefore, his ability to makdish and the thing that he bought is only up until Yovel. So therefore, the rights to the field were never his, and then that was never mekudash. And therefore, when Yovel comes, it goes back. It doesn't go to the Kohanim, but rather it is something that goes back to the original owner. Kohanim Leviim makdishim la'olam. You have Kohanim Leviim. They have, if they have ancestral fields, and we know those fields, of course, are the land, the cities that were given to the Leviim. We have the 48 cities where they could live, and 2,000 amos around of land around each of those cities. So those are the rights that the Kohanim and Leviim. Those are the lands that belong to the Kohanim and Leviim, and they have the rights to those fields. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying, if Kohanim and Leviim are makdish their field, that's their ste'achuza, they could be makdish, it says, la'olam v'galim la'olam. Yisraelim can't be makdish a field during the Yovel year. This says that the Kohanim Levim can be makdish it any time. And that includes the Yovel year as well. And v'galim la'olam. Not only that, they have the ability to always redeem it. If Kohen Levi is makdish his ste'achuza, he can redeem it even after Yovel passes. And that's based on the pasuk. It says Geulas Olam Tihiel Alaviim. So they, you see that he can be goel it even after Yovel. But Yisraelim, of course, we know cannot redeem their land that they were makdish after the Yovel year comes. Once the Yovel arrives, whatever it was makdish goes to the Kohanim of his Steachusa. So once again, Kohanim Leviim, Makdishim La'olam, they go on them alone. They can consecrate their land forever and they can redeem forever. Bein Lifne Hayovel, Bein La'ach Hayovel. That's whether it's before Yovel or even after Yovel. We begin the 8th Perek, Perek Shmini Mishnah Aleph, HaMakdish Es Sodeu Bishah She'ena Yovel. So just a little bit of background. Pasuk says when in Parshas Bahar, Ukrasem Deror Ba'aretz L'chol Yosheveha, this is where you proclaim freedom, liberty in the land for all of its inhabitants. That is the Yovel year. And Yovel was not always in place. Even the times when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Yovel did not was not always in force. And that's because the halacha is that in Yovel, for Yovel to take effect, we need all of the inhabitants or the majority of the Jewish people living in the land of Israel. If some have been exiled, take for example, as discussed in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Hey, the Assyrians sent into exile Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. So at that point already, Yovel would not take effect, even though there was still a Beis HaMikdash. So if there's no Yovel, the ancestral fields, the Achuzah, that were sold, don't go back to the original owner. And nor do we say that those that people, the lands that people will makdish, go to the Kohanim when Yovel comes. And therefore, that whole fixed rate of 50 shekel kesef also doesn't apply. And therefore, redemption of a field happens through whatever the regular market value is. So this Mishnah says if a person who's a makdish a sadeh b'shar she'eda Yovel, where there is no Yovel, Yovel is not in force. So he was makdish, this is when we don't have the entire Jewish people in the land of Israel, to be more specific. Some claim that it has to be, some Rishonim say, as long as some members of each of the 12 tribes live in Israel, that's, even though it doesn't, it's less of the majority of Am Yisrael, Yovel is in place. And others claim, no, you actually need a majority of each of the tribes to living in Eretz Yisrael for Yovel to be in place. So what do we do in such a case? Here is someone who's Makdish's field at the time where there is no Yovel. The Mishnah says, Omrim lo, we say to him, the person who was makdish it, Pesach ata rishon. You open first. You take the first bid. What's this all about? So remember, now we take the market value. So it's not a fixed rate. So we want to auction it off to try to get the, for Hektesh to get the best price as someone redeems from Hektesh. So the owner of the field, the one who is Maktesh, it is the one who we go to first. And the reason for that is Shahabalim Nostim Chomesh. Because the owner, when he redeems it from Hektesh, has to add on a Chomesh. V'chal Adam, someone else who redeems it, not the one who owned it. Eino Nostim Chomesh. So of course we want Hektesh to gain. And therefore, we open the bid with we open this auction with the original owner. Have him give a bid because we'd rather him redeem it because Hektesh ends up getting a chomesh if he's the one who redeems it. Then the Mishnah says, "Masa be'echad shehiktish sadeh b'nei ra'asa." There was a case where one person was Makdash's field because of ra'asa, because it was inferior, it was poor quality. So what was the issue? So Rabbi Tanura says, "Shehautza sheva yisir ala sheva." The expense for it, to farm it, was actually more than it would produce. So it wasn't worth keeping. And therefore it was Makdash to the base of Mikdash. Amr lo, so they said to him, "Psachata rishon." You open first, you bid first on it to redeem it. He wanted obviously to redeem it, so he said, "Okay, you go first." Amar harei sheli beisur. He says, "Okay." He says, "I'm gonna bid an isur for the field. How much is an isur? 8 prutos. Prutos is the smallest coin. Made out of copper, so not a lot of money at all. Okay, I'll give an isur and that's all." Amar Rabbi Yossi, "Lo amar ze ela kibetza." This person actually did not say isur. He said, "I'll give a kibetza. I'll give an egg for it." So how much is that? So he, according to Rabbi Yossi, the story was that it wasn't an isur, but he bid an egg, which is worth actually less than 4 prutos. So an isur at least is worth 8 prutos. An egg is less than 4 prutos. So that's what Rabbi Yossi said. Why do we care about the what happened in the story? So Mishnah says, "Shahahektesh nifted the chesed of shavik kesef." To let you know that Hektesh can be redeemed not only with kesef, not only with coins, but even shavik kesef, even something that has value. So a beitza has value if that is what a person wants to redeem with. The same way, pinyon abein. Also, you don't have to give 5 coins. You can give a nice silver kiddush cup worth that amount, $250, whatever the amount is supposed to be worth the 5 sela. Anything, marriage. We don't need to give kesef. We actually always give shava kesef. We give a ring. So here as well, says the Bar Tanura, when it said on the word lo amar ze ela kebetza. What do you mean? Rabbi Yossi said kebetza. Klamar lo kachaya maisa. The maisa was not the way you claimed. Tanakama shelo amar beisar ela bebetza. Of amar lo ha gizbar higi ascha. And what did the gizbar say to him? And that's what the Mishnah says. Amar lo, the gizbar, the treasurer, said to higi ascha, it's yours. I mean, it was very cheap that he redeemed it. This was the owner. And harei shelcha bekebetza. And in fact, you want to give the beitza for it, it's yours. Nimsa mafsid isar v'sadehu lefanav. So the Mishnah concludes by saying he ended up losing an isar, and this field that was of inferior quality is now his. Meaning he lost two things. Number one, he had to pay an isar, and obviously, what do you see? That the Mishnah concludes like the Tanakhama. It wasn't a beitza that he paid. He actually paid an isar, and now he ended up with this field that he didn't really want to begin with. Now, it sounds like from the Mishnah that the Hektesh wanted him, encouraged him to redeem it, and that's why they said to him, Psach HaTarishon. It doesn't sound like he wanted to actually redeem it. But they said, no, you have to make a bid. We want it to be redeemed. And in fact, he bid very little, but he didn't want the field. So to him, this wasn't even worth having. He had to pay an Easter. Now he has the Sadeh Lefanav that he didn't want to have to farm because it ended up losing out more money. It was more expensive. There's the cost of farming was a lot more than it actually produced. Why we need this story here at all? So one explanation is that we're here to learn that if a person is makdish a field because its quality is poor, he has to redeem it for a minimum of 4 prutos, according to the Tanakhama. That's what we're saying. How much is 4 prutos? Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, he said it was an egg. We said an egg is less than 4 prutos. So what we're supposed to learn from this story is that we follow the opinion of the Tanakhama, and that's why the Mishnah says, Nitsa mafsid isur, you end up losing out on an isur. You don't actually have to redeem it for the minimum of an isur, but it has to be a little bit more than an egg. So an egg is less than 4 prutos. A minimum of 4 prutos is necessary, at least, in order to redeem something, even this field of poor quality, from Hektesh.